Fairly recently, the government had a test of all their emergency notification devices. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, suddenly everyone who had a mobile phone got a text message. Did you all get one of those? Did it pop up? Probably at the most inconvenient time. That's often how that works. It's the first time that I've ever seen anything like that coming from the government, which I think is a reflection of my age, possibly. Because I was born in 1980, which tells you something. But I was born at a time when we were just coming down from the real height of the Cold War. I think perhaps it hit its absolute pitch in about 1984. Suddenly there was this kind of, there was a ramping up around that period. And then it eased off. And although the fact of various nations around the world being nuclear armed, all of those things on our minds, biological weapons, chemical weapons, all of these things that we know exist, that immediate threat that something might descend upon this nation and we should be ready for it, eased off by the time I was ready to be aware that that was happening. But I'm married to someone a little bit older than me, and his memory of that time, the early 80s, is really quite scary. All of these notices coming from the government saying, if you hear this, you've got 4 minutes. If you hear this announcement, you've got 4 minutes before the bombs hit, essentially. You had programs detailing what you should do in the event of a nuclear strike. All of these kinds of things. And it was a common question, even for me, and I think it's crossed all of our minds, what would you do if you knew you only had 4 minutes left? How would you spend those 4 minutes? It's a hard thing to think about, really, isn't it? What would you do? But even if it's not 4 minutes, 4 minutes is short. What if you had a little bit more warning? What if you thought, well, you've got a week. You've got exactly 1 week before the world ends. What are you going to do with that week? How are you going to spend it? And it's a real live question. Now, at the time Paul was writing his letter to the Thessalonians, that second reading we had today, their understanding of what Jesus had said to them when he was talking about the temple, when he was talking about the fact that an end will come. You can't predict when it will be, but an end will come. And there will be portents in heaven, and there will be wars, and there will be insurrections, and there will be famines, and there will be earthquakes. All of these terrible things will occur, and then an end will come. Well, when Paul was writing that letter, their expectation, and it was a firm expectation, was that Jesus was going to return imminently, so soon, like he might come back tomorrow, next weekend. He was going to come back so soon. And a lot of the advice that we find from Paul in his letters to these various communities is, well, don't start planning for the long term because that's not going to happen. The end is coming really soon. And you need to be ready for that. So there's a lot about you need to be awake, you need to be alert, you need to be ready. Because Jesus is coming this afternoon. There was an expectation, the end is coming. And so that gives you a little bit more of an understanding, I think, as to why the Thessalonians in their city are being moaned at by Paul. Because the Thessalonians have heard this word from Paul. The end is coming really soon. Jesus is coming back and it's going to be any day. And so they think to themselves, well, what's the point in going to work then? Why am I going to spend the last week I have going to work? Aren't there better things that I can be doing with my time? Maybe I should be spending it in prayer. That would be a great way to spend time. Maybe I should spend it reading scripture. That would be excellent. Maybe I should spend it gathering around family and friends. Why am I going to spend it working? How ridiculous. And so Paul is having to write to them and say, well, listen, I know that I said Jesus is coming back really soon, but that doesn't mean you get to stop. It doesn't mean that you just get to lay everything by because we still need to keep going until that happens. So you don't get to just lay down your tools and say, well, Jesus is coming back this afternoon. Why should I bother? You have to be still working. And he, of course, was working himself. Paul was a tent maker, which means that he was a leather worker. And if you can imagine, the way that Paul was doing his evangelism largely would have been by sitting. He'd have rented a shopfront in one of those Greek or Macedonian cities, and he would get business coming in so that he could work for them. And he'd be sitting in that little workshop, working with leather with his hands and talking about Jesus. It's a very homely image, but that's the image that we have of Paul, sitting hard at work, his hands busy with some piece of leather or other, and people coming into him and him talking to them. Day and night, he says, I worked because I need to keep going in every way so that I can keep working for Jesus to tell you about these things. It's so important. For us today, we, I think, have moved away. It's been 2,000 years. We've moved away from the idea that Jesus is coming back tomorrow. But the question that I have for you is, should we have? Because we don't know. We don't know when the day or the time or the hour is when Jesus says he will return. We have no idea. We do know that things end, that all things end. When I was on holiday recently, I went to Oxford, not a million miles away. And I spent my time with a friend going to the tourist things in Oxford. I went to museums and I went to the botanical gardens and I got to have some fun there. And one of the museums I went to was the Pitt Rivers Museum. Or I think they're calling it the Natural History Museum these days. I still know it as the Pitt Rivers. It's slightly tidier than it was in my day. There are fewer drawers to pull open. But there are these amazing displays of all of the mass extinctions that have happened through the history of the world. I think there's been 7 mass extinctions. Almost all life on Earth wiped out. It has happened even in the space of this world's existence. We know that stars are born and they die. We know that all things have a beginning and they have an ending, apart from God. The time will come when things will end. And when we feel comfortable and when we don't have an immediate threat coming at us, that thought can recede. We can put our blinkers on and move through our lives thinking, well, I feel kind of invulnerable. Nothing's going to happen to me. Here I am doing my things. The thought of that being finite can often be a long way away from us. And then, of course, we're woken up to it when we face illness, when we lose somebody that we love, when something awful happens in the world. We're shaken back into the realization that we are contingent beings. We don't live forever. The world doesn't live forever. Nothing in existence continues forever except for God himself. And we need to hold that thought, because how will you use the time that you have now? How will you use that to do the things that you should be doing? Because if Jesus comes back tomorrow, which he might do, 2,000 years it's been, but he could very well. We could come to the end of our existence tomorrow. And we need to be aware, we need to be ready that we are using the time that we have now as we should be. Not in fear of that thing coming, but in readiness for it. Jesus says the kingdom of God has come near, and it has, in his presence and in his love. And that presence says to us, you need not be afraid of the fact that things will end tomorrow or the next day or in 10 years' time or in a billion years when all things finish. At some stage they will, and you do not need to be afraid, because I am with you, and you need to use that time. You need to use it using all of the skills and all of the presence that you have. And if you're able to work and if you're able to contribute to the people around you, then you should be doing that. And if you're able to speak and to testify, you should be doing that. And you should be aware of the fact that we are moving down a path towards something. We're not just free floating in the ether. We are moving towards the end of God's plan. And wherever we are on that journey, we are on it. So be awake. Be ready. Use the time that you have. In love and in hard work and in patience and in forgiveness. And whenever our Lord returns, we will be ready for him. Amen.